base in Torah Daled of Likut Emor and Tanina. We said that because of the fact that we've come this far, we're not going to review, we're not going to keep reviewing from the beginning of the Torah to review all the topics. And in fact, the paragraph that we're going to do tonight, in a way, is going to be a review of everything that we had from the beginning of the Torah. Rabbeinu Zalman this Torah spoke about many topics, about Stucco, about the Kiddush of Yontif, about philosophers, about old people, all kinds of different things. And now Rabbeinu Zalman begins the next paragraph with the words, V'zeh Bechinas Refuos. And this meaning everything that we've spoken about till now, is the concept of curing people, curing sick people. And now Rabbeinu Zalman explains, Ki hu refuo l'chol hamakos, because this item, tzedaka, serves as a cure for any type of illness whatsoever. Ki kol bechinos elu heim bechinos refuos, because all the different things that we've spoken about in this chapter on the Likutei Moran so far are all tied in to the topic of refuos, the topic of medicines, the topic of curing an illness. And here the type of illness Rabbeinu Zalman is referring to specifically is an infection, an internal infection. Rabbeinu Zalman says, tzedaka hi refua. We started off this chapter on Likutei Moran talking about the topic of tzedaka. Tzedaka is a cure. Rabbeinu Zalman is going to show, now here's going to be an exhibition of Rabbeinu Zalman's spectacular bekiyus in Navi. The Navi consists of 24 books, and there are about one or two people in every 30 generations that memorize, in other words, that have complete control of every pasuk in Navi. Number one, every pasuk in Navi. Number two, every Rashi of every pasuk in Navi. In other words, to have it on your fingertips so that if you're asked to relate one item to another, to be able to scan the entire Torah, the entire 24 books of the Torah, and look up an association, this word, to see where it's associated to that word. In this paragraph, you're going to see Rabbeinu Zalman's fantastic bekiyus of Torah in just in taking this chapter on the Likutei Moran, all the different words, all the different concepts that he expressed here. He's going to hook them all into the topic of curing an infection, and he's going to prove it from psukim in a Torah. He's going to show how there's a pasuk that ties together tzedaka with a cure. There's a pasuk that ties together old age with a cure. There's a pasuk that ties together ratzayin with a cure, every single thing we had so far. Rabbeinu Zalman says, tzedaka hi refua. Tzedaka is a concept of being cured. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Malachi, tzedaka marpe bichnotheho. There, the Navi compares charity to the sun, to the light of the sun, which spreads out its wings to cure the person. That's the wording that's used in the pasuk. It says about tzedaka over there that v'zorcholachem yirei shemi shemesh tzedaka umarpe bichnotheho. That your charity, your charitable deeds will shine forth like the sun, which cures with its wingspan. In other words, the wingspan of the sun. So we see an association between tzedaka and curing. Rabbeinu Zalman says, zokein, the term zokein, an elderly person, which we use in this Torah, ze kono chochma. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that refers to a person who has chochma, a person who has wisdom. And that's also who Bechinas refers. That's also a concept of refuah. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Mishlei l'shoin chachomim marpe, that the words of the wise men cure. They provide a cure, a solution for any problem that a person has. Note the word that's used is l'shoin chachomim marpe. Chachma is put together with refuah. Next, Rabbeinu Zalman says, Ratzayin hu bechinas refuah. The term that we use to refer to solid emuna in the revelation of the Ratzayin of Hashem, that term Ratzayin also relates to refuah. K'moy shekosov, as we see in a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yeshaya Hanavi, the prophet, who was a prophet, spoke to the Jews, and he said, Hashem shelochani lach boish l'nishbarei lev. Hashem has sent me to bandage those who have a broken heart, to mend a broken heart. Likroi shnas ratzayin, to declare a year in which Hashem will show a willingness to accept the Jews. In other words, show a favoritism to the Jews. Note, ratzayin is put together with lachboish. Lachboish is miloshen tachboishes, a bandage, which is a refuah. It's a form of curing an illness. Next, Maleches Maisa Bereshis. Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter discussed the concept of doing all the different types of work that a person does, tie into the 39 types of work that are mentioned in the Torah, which were done in the Mishkan, which tie into the 39 types of work which were employed when Hashem first created the world. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person goes about his regular day's work and he does it properly, following the laws of the Torah, automatically he arouses those acts within the creation of the world that Hashem used in order to bring about the Bria Salem. So in effect, Rabbeinu Zal was trying to show how even a person who goes about his business, conducting his malacha, his work properly, even in that there is kedusha, there is significance to it. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Maleches Maisa Bereshis Hurefuah. That's also a concept of cure. Kemosh Yekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, the Pasuk there is talking about the workers that were working to build the Beis HaMikdash. Those workers that were being applied to building the Beis HaMikdash. So the wording in the pasuk over there is Vata'al Arucha Lemelocha Biyadam. With their efforts, they applied a cure to the situation of getting the Beis HaMikdash built. Note the word Arucha in Hebrew means refuah. So we see here the term refuah being applied to Melocha Lemeleches Biyadam. That was also a concept of cure. Kirafuas hamak, Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Kirafuas hamak, when a person has an infection, in order to cure it, he al yedei kamo bechinois. It requires many, many different procedures. It requires a whole operation. The first item that must be done in order to effect a cure on an infection is to be able to open up the surface of the wound, to be able to open the pihamake, to puncture the skin somehow, to be able to open it. Achar kach, step two is tzorich koyach hamoishech. A person has to apply a drawing power. Sheyimshoich v'yotzi halecho v'hadamim hamekulkolim mitoich hamake. The person has to draw out and remove the moisture, the pus, the dead white blood cells that have accumulated there within the infection. Achar kach, step three. Tzrichin lahadiach kol hadamim. The person has to wash out and filter and clean off all the blood that's sort of around that area, not even directly involved with the infection, but in the surrounding area. A person has to clean off that blood, because if there is any trace of the pus or of the infection, if any of it has leaked out to a surrounding area where it doesn't look pussy, it looks red over there, but it has droplets of this, then even after you suck out the majority of the pus, if any remnant remains there, many times because of that, that'll cause the infection to come back a second time brand new. So besides removing the pus that's on the surface, a person has to also wash out and cleanse the blood that's all around that area. Shelo yihye bohem shum kilkul v'achirus, so that there shouldn't be any spoilage in that blood in the surrounding area. Kidei sheyuchlu hadamim leilech ulesavev kol seder sivuvam keseder b'li shum ikuv, so that the blood that normally flows through all the different parts of the body should be able to continue its normal flow without being obstructed in any way. Rabbeinu Zal explains now. When the blood circulates throughout the different parts of the body, when the blood reaches a place in the body where there is a spoilage, an infection, a problem, the place where there is an infection, the nature of blood is that the blood begins to accumulate in that area. Why is it that when we see a person has an infection, suddenly the skin starts puffing up in that area? Because the nature of blood that flows, that circulates throughout the body, is that when the blood notices an obstruction, all the blood, the white blood cells specifically, rush to that area to combat the infection, and the blood bichlal gets obstructed over there. It starts just coagulating right there and staying right there, gathering,
Stagnating
right in the area of the infection. At the place where the infection is, that's where the blood stagnates. And what happens is, any problem that the person has with the blood in any part of the body, as the blood is flowing and the blood is gathering in the place of this infection, the nature of an infection in the body is that any part of the blood that has any spoilage in it will gather in that place where there is an infection and mount and cause it all to really get bigger and bigger. Kichein haderech. Rabbi Nizal explains the laws of biology, that this is the nature of the blood within a person's body. Shebamokoyim hamekulkol, in a place, at a location in the body where there is an infection, shom nisakev kol min achirus v'kilkul shiesh bahadamin. That's where any type of spoilage that exists in any of the blood of the body will gather at the place of an infection. This is the nature of the blood. Va'azai nisakvin shom hadamim, and then the blood stagnates in that area. Ve'ein yecholam lasavev sivuvam kederach hiluchem amrutzasam, and the blood is not able to circulate in its normal pattern, the way the blood is required to make certain a number of revolutions throughout the body in a certain unit of time in order for the body to function properly. Ki yesh lahadamim seder hahiluch. Rabbi Nizal says the blood has a circulatory path throughout the body. Shehilchim umesavivim haguf kach vekach pomim b'shor. The blood normally circles around the body a certain number of times in an hour. Ukiyotze. In other words, something like that. He's not giving you necessarily the accurate figures, but he's telling you there is this concept where the blood is required to make a complete circulation around the body within a given amount of time. Ukishiyesh bohem achirus. And when the blood has any kind of a spoiler in it, any kind of a problem in it, nisakvim b'mokoyim hamekulkol kanal. The blood by nature will begin to gather together at a location in the body where there is an infection. This is the nature of the blood. That the blood, the 13 or whatever it is pints of blood that a person has in the body normally, any spoilage that exists within that blood, even if it's by the feet, as the blood is traveling through the body, when it passes an area where there is an infection, any spoilage in any of the blood will stagnate in that area, in the location of the infection. And this is what compounds the problem, in a sense. This is what makes an infection really take off, chas v'shalom, where they have this concept of gangrene setting in and it spreads throughout the body. It starts from one location where there was a big hit of all of this problem blood, and then it starts spreading throughout the rest of the body. And this obstructs the blood from being able to circulate according to its normal path. Al-Kain, therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, besides what we said before about removing the obvious pus of the infection, that alone is not enough. Al-Kain tzrichin lahadichom ulechabsom. Therefore, there is this concept of washing off the blood, in a sense. Even not the pus, not the actual pus, but the blood, the red blood, has to be cleansed. Period. That's the stage 4. Next step 5, I believe it's we're up to. Achakach tzrichin lizgor pi hamake. Then, once you've opened up the infection and drawn out the pus and cleansed the blood that was underneath that, then you have to close up the skin in that area in order for the inside to be able to heal up properly. V'chol elu b'chinois refuois nas nal yidei b'chinas hanal. And all of these steps that are involved in the procedure of healing an infection have all been prescribed by the different items which we mentioned earlier. Watch how Rabbi Nizal is going to show how each item hooks up with a different step in the procedure of curing an infection. Tzedoko hi b'chinas psichas pi hamake. The act of giving tzedoko, that corresponds to the opening of the infection. Why? Because we mentioned, what's the terminology that's used in the pasuk about giving tzedakah? Open your hand to the poor person. The verb that's applied to tzedakah is not give tzedakah, open your hand. So tzedakah corresponds to the opening of the wound. Tzedakah is a concept of opening up. Bechinas posayach tiftach. Next, Chachma, the concept of wisdom that we refer to in this chapter, Likut Imran, about the Chacham, who is able to combat the Chachmei HaTeva, with his Chachma, he's able to tie together all the Ritzainais to the Metzach HaRatzain, thereby defeating the Chachmei HaTeva, the Metzach HaNachash, and everything. Chachma, Rabbi Nezal says, he bechinas Koyach HaMoshech. Chachma refers to the power of drawing out the pus, the obvious pus that's in the wound. Why? Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Iyov Chavches, Umeshech Chachma Mipninim, that drawing, the drawing of wisdom, is more precious than diamonds. Note the word that's used, Umeshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma. Limshech means to draw out. So we see the verb that's applied to Chachma is drawing out. Rabbi Nezal says that the pasuk says over there, and the Gemara darshins that the word pninim refers to milifnai vilifnim, referring to the innermost. The Gemara says that wisdom is more precious than diamonds. The Hebrew word for diamonds is pninim. The word pninim is also as though it said lifnai vilifnim. There was one Jew who was on so great a level that he was able to enter into the innermost chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. Who is that? The Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says, who's considered higher, a Talmud Chacham or a Kohen Gadol? The Gemara says there's a pasuk that teaches us that a Talmud Chacham is even to be respected more than a Kohen Gadol, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Yikara hi mipninim. It is more precious than diamonds. And the Gemara darshins the word pninim, it's as though it said lifnai v'lifnim. The Torah is more, knowledge of Torah is more precious than the one who was permitted to go inside of inside. So Rabbi Nezal makes a play on this now. Watch. Umeshech chachma mipninim. Wisdom draws out mipninim. Milifnai v'lifnim. He, milifnai v'lifnim. Shebechinas chachma moisheches umoitzio hakilkul milifnai v'lifnim. The drawing of chachma helps to draw out any part of this infection, even from the innermost parts of the body. Not just the obvious pus on the surface of the infection, but even from the blood that's inside that looks reddish, that only has traces of the infection in it, the chachma is able to draw out umeshech chachma mipninim. The chachma is able to be meshech milifnai v'lifnim, from way inside the body. Next, Regel, the next topic that we discussed in this chapter was the topic of a holiday, the three holidays of the Jews, which are called Shalosh Regolim. Rabbi Nezal says the term Regel, Rabbi Nezal, Shehu Hizgalos HaRatzoyim, these holidays on which we have this revelation of the Ratzoyim of Hashem, the fact that Hashem revealed that everything is under His Ratzoyim, Al Yidei Zeh Nase Bechinas Hadochas V'Kibus Hadamim. That's the power that helps to cleanse, to wash out the blood from any type of spoilage that's even inside the blood throughout the body. How do we know this? Rabbi Nezal says, Kidei Sheyuchlu Hadamim L'Saveiv Sivuvam Keseder, so as to be able to allow the blood to flow throughout the body in its normal path. V'ze b'chinas regel. This is what the term regel, which means holiday, what does it refer to? Rabbi Nezal says, b'chinas ayin regel. There's a pasuk in Malachim that says that it was in this week's, just this week's Haftarah, this past week's Haftarah that we learned, where it said that Adoniah, who was one of the sons of King David, tried to make believe that he was going to take over after King David. So the pasuk says he came to a place where there was an Evan Zeichelis, where there was this big rock, and over there he sacrificed, he brought sacrifices and this and everything. He brought sacrifices by this Evan Zeichelis, which was Eitzel Ein Regel. That's what the pasuk says, which was near a place called Ein Regel. So Rashi over there in Malachim says, what is Ein Regel? Rashi says, if you look in the Targum Yonason, the Targum on the word Regel is Koive, is Ktsara, I think. So Rashi HaKadosh says that the Aramaic word Ktsara means to wash, launder. That this was a big stone where the launderers used to take their clothing and they would beat it on this big rock to wash the clothing. That's the place where Adoniah set up, you know, his place to bring these sacrifices and everything, this whole party, making believe that he was going to take over as king. So Rabbi Nezal says, look at the Rashi over there. The Rashi on the word Ein Regel is Ein Koives, the eye of the launderers. Kaives means laundry, a launderer. Kamei Shapirish Rashi Sham, as Rashi HaKadosh explains over there. So Rabbi Nizal says, so we see that regel is associated with kaives, with washing, laundering. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu Sha'al Yidei Regel V'yantif, through the holidays, Shehu Hizgalus HaRatzoin, which is the time at which there is this revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem, Al yidei ze nase bechinas hadochas vekibus hadamim kanal. That's what affects the washing out of the blood that we spoke about. That besides removing the initial pus of the infection, you have to wash out all the blood that surrounds that area so that the infection shouldn't reoccur. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ubishvil ze nikre horegel chag." Now comes another interesting thing. We know that the Hebrew word for holiday, sometimes it's called regel, shalosh regolim. That's one word in the Chumash that means holiday. Another word for holiday means chag, chag hasukot, chag shavuot. The word chag means holiday also. Rabbi Nizal says, "Why? This ties into our chapter on Likutei Moran, because what does the Hebrew word lachug mean?" To go, to make a circle, to circulate, to make a circle. Rabbi Nizal says, this is why another word for holiday is chag. Loshin sivuv, the concept of going round, circulating. K'moy shekosav, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hayoshev al chug ha'oretz, the Hashem who resides on the chug ha'oretz, meaning in the shamayim, which encircles the earth. Chug is miloshin round. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki al yedei hadochas v'kibus hadamim, through this procedure of washing out the blood, al yedei ze heimesavivim keseder. That's what allows the blood to circulate. That's the English word, that's the term that's used about blood moving around the body, in a circle, circulating. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki al yedei hadochas v'kibus hadamim, al yedei ze heimesavivim keseder kanal. Through the washing out of the blood, the filtering out of the infection, that's what allows the blood to circulate completely properly. Maisa Bereishis, another item that we spoke about in this chapter was that when a person does his acts of work, he arouses the work that Hashem did when he first created the world, the act of Maisa Bereishis. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu Bechinas Olam Chesed Yibonah. The act of Hashem creating the world, that corresponds to an inyan of Chesed, because there's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, Olam Chesed Yibonah, that the world was built with chesed. So we see that the act of building the world relates to the concept of chesed. Ki al yidei b'chinoy seilu kanal, because through all the different concepts that we discussed in this chapter on Likutei Moran of giving tzedakah and thereby defeating the Metzach HaNochosh and thereby causing the Hizgalus HaRatzon and thereby creating the Yira, which serves as a keli to contain what? To contain the chesed, the super chesed of Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, Kal yidei b'chinoy seilu hanal zeichin lahashpo asa chesed. Through all the different things which we spoke about in this chapter so far, that's what helps a person be zeichet to receive this extreme large quantity of chesed of Hashem that we spoke about, meaning sheyiskayim ho'ilam b'chazdai, so as to allow the world to be able to continue purely on the kindness of Hashem, not necessitating any work, any effort, any sarusa de lasato. Bechinas, as Rabbi Nizal quoted the pasuk earlier, v'atem koyhane Hashem tikru, that you will all be referred to as a nation of priests, a nation of koyhanim. Vayidei bechinas zu bechinas koyhen chesed. Okay. So we said that by doing everything that we spoke about till now, what will you get to? You'll get to have Maisa Bereishis, which is the meaning of Chesed. You'll get to have this super Chesed of Hashem. What's another term that corresponds to Chesed? Kohen. Kohen is always an inyan of chesed. Kohen is chesed, Levi is din, Yisrael is teferis. So through that, you'll get to Kohen, which is chesed. We said that after you open the infection, and after you drain the pus, and after you washed out the blood, what's the final thing that you have to do? You have to seal the wound. You have to seal the opening. Rabbi Nizal says, the Kohen is the one who closes up the opening. How? Bebechina says, Al Yidei Zeh Nizgar Pi HaMakeh. By generating this concept of Chesed, which is a concept of Kohen, Kohen represents the closing up of the opening. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Vehizgir haKohen es hanega, that if a Kohen will come to a person's house and see an infection on the walls of the house, he'll see a leprosy on the walls or anything like that, the Kohen will close up the nega. He's the one who opens it up and takes out whatever he has to take out, and then he closes it up. Shaydei Bechinas Chesed, Bechinas Kohen Nizgar Hamak. It's the concept of Kohen, which is this concept of Chesed, that's what causes the infection to get closed up, the surface of the infection, which had to be opened, to be sealed, resealed, v'nisrape b'shleimos, and the person becomes cured entirely, completely. Now here, Rabbi Nizal gave us a review of all the concepts that he touched on in this Torah, and he showed how we can find a makor in the Torah. If we take a tour of the entire Torah, going through Malachim, Malachi, Yeshaya, Bimbam, we'll find that each one of the terms that we spoke about in this Torah corresponds to a concept of curing an illness. First, initially, he showed how each one of the terms ties into the term curing. That was his first hookup, to tie tzedakah, this, that, into the word refuah. That was phase one. Phase two was where he described all the different steps of the procedure of curing an infection, the different verbs, open, drain, clean, seal, and he showed how each one of the concepts that we referred to here applies to a different verb. Tzedaka, open. Shchachma, draw out, drain. Yantif is yantif, wash, launder. Kohen, close up. He showed how each one of these things ties into this.
So I went through, like, how do you, if a person one uses as refuah, what does he, I don't know, in this
okay.
Paragraph, how do you do it?
Okay. So now let's talk about the practical application of this paragraph. We mentioned last week that one practical application was that Rabbi Nizal was so great a tzaddik that when a tzaddik, what is a tzaddik's function? What's a tzaddik's main function? To cure people. To cure people not physically. That's not the tzaddik's main function. The main function is to cure people of spiritual illnesses such as depression, the wrong types of desires. All of those things are called sicknesses. A person is sick because he's not serving Hashem properly. That's called sick. There's an abnormalcy. There's a conflict going on inside, and there's been things have become rearranged where the Yetzer Hara in him has more power than the Yetzer Tov. Rabbi Nizal, tzaddikim, not only do they have a power to cure a person spiritually, but a tzaddik, when he applies a spiritual cure to a person, he can also affect a cure physically. And this is one of the illustrations where Rabbi Nizal actually affected a miraculous cure for one of his students. We mentioned that this student had an infection in the large intestine, in the rectum, way inside, and the doctors had given up. And the doctors said that the reason why they're giving up is because there'd be so many things necessary for them to be able to affect the cure. Number one, they have to be able to get inside, and the infection, they discovered that the infection in this student was in a place where they couldn't get in there. Problem number one. And they told them that they would have to open the wound, all of these things. Rabbi Nizal, when he said this Torah, at that moment was when he affected a tikkun for this particular student. That's number one. Factually, we believe be'emuna shlema, that when a person learns the words of Rabbi Nizal with sincerity, we're not saying that we are tzaddikim, we're able to perform miracles or anything like that, but any student who attaches himself to Rabbi Nizal the right way, with humbleness, and tries to draw on this power of Rabbi Nizal, how? By learning this chapter on Likutei Moran, by saying the Likutei Tfilos on this chapter, we would certainly believe be'emuna shlema that this could help to affect a cure for infection. That's number two. Just the learning of this alone. Number three, Rabbi Nizal spoke about many practical mitzvahs that we're faced with every day. Tzedakah. Every time you give tzedakah in the day, one of the thoughts, once you've learned this, if possible, when you do a mitzvah, you don't just do it without thinking. at all. That's for a lower level Jew. We who are zecher to be gifted with these forum and are learning them, what this is supposed to help you do is that when you do a mitzvah, it should be done with a little bit more brains than a person who has less knowledge. When you give tzedakah, there are many things. Rabbi Nizal, in many chapters in the Kutimran, talks about what tzedakah affects. This is one of them. A person giving a nickel to a poor man could have in mind, I want my nickel to bring about a refuah. Any Jew on this planet who has any type of infection on his foot, on his eye, and is anywhere, my act of giving tzedakah, I know that that is tied into refuah. When a yontif comes, when Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkos come, by accomplishing the mitzvahs of yontif, which are, number one, being in simcha, on Sukkos it's eating in the sukkah, on Shavuos it's staying up at night, each one of those mitzvahs definitely ties into this topic of refuah, which we spoke about. And by not wasting time, we spoke about being misaking the old age, and by combating the power of philosophy, by studying the Chochmas HaTorah versus the wisdoms of philosophy and science, these wrong types of philosophy and science, all of these items will definitely help a person to bring about a refuah for himself or for any other person.
Period. Somebody say.
Oh, again, a kohen, to know that this is a concept that's stressed throughout Rabbi Nizal's teachings, that kohen is, as is stressed in Shulchan Aruch, there are certain laws that apply to a kohen. In other words, this is not a question of arrogance. The kohen isn't great because he's great. The kohen is great because Hashem said that he's great, period. Hashem said that he is on a higher level. When we go to wash our hands for bread, he should go first. When it comes to benching, he should be offered the benching first, unless there are certain other items, a Talmud Chacham, other things take precedence. But the norm, the act of showing respect for a kohen or giving tzedakah specifically to a kohen, again, these items, the Rabbi Nizal showed how kohen represents this super chesed. And this, Rabbi Nizal explains in Kotei Halachos, this was the whole mistake of Korach. Why did Korach meet such a tragic end? Fine, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem spoke to him, he split the Red Sea, fine and dandy. But what's his brother any big deal? Why should he be the one doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and we, the Levim, are given menial tasks, a lower level, much lower level, schlepping the things and this and that? Why can't we be the ones to be the Kohanim? This was his complaint. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, is based on the words of the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Kohen is an Inyan of Chesed, Levi is an Inyan of Din. If the Levi subserviates himself to the Kohen, then the Din is being overtaken by the Chesed. That's the proper manner. When that happens, things are great. When the Chesed is on top and the Din is on bottom, it means the harshness is being overcome, sweetened by kindness. When we reverse these two, when the Levi tries to be the boss over the Kohen, Chas v'Shalom, he causes an arousal in heaven of harshness. That's what it is. He represents harshness. When he tries to climb on top of the kohen, he's demanding that the harshness should supersede the kindness. On who does it take itself out on? On him. That's what happened. Just as the Zohar HaKadosh says, this is where we have the law, that when a husband and wife are having relations, for example, the Gemara says that if the wife is on top and the husband is on bottom, they get a death penalty. Question is death, but you know, how do you use a death penalty? Is if I kill someone, death penalty just because they did this thing? The Zohar HaKadosh explains there's a secret behind this. Male represents chesed, female represents din. When the female is subservient to the male, that's the normal flow where the kindness is on top, the harshness is on bottom. Everything is cool, everything's great. If the female tries to rule the male, if the female goes on top of the male, that's showing that what they're asking for the din to go on top of the chesed, chas v'shalom. That's what could bring about a death penalty. Death is a form of din, a form of judgment of Hashem. So all of these are applications of this union of the kohen being, now the kohanim, the tzaddik many times is referred to as kohen. Is the nickname for a tzaddik in many places in the Torah is kohen. As we find a pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara and many other places, ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das v'toyre yivakshim yipiyu ki malach Hashem tzofesu. Why? Why is kohen the term that's used to represent tzaddik many times? Because what mitzvah does tzaddik refer to? Tikkun HaBris. Tzaddik refers to purity in Tikkun HaBris. the Kohanim are set aside as being more religious than the regular Jews when it comes to Tikkun HaBris. A regular Jew has more leeway as to who he's permitted to marry than a Kohen, right? A regular Jew can marry a divorcee, a Kohen can't marry a divorcee. This shows a superiority that Hashem considers the Kohen in a sense more special in terms of Tikkun HaBris, that Hashem has given him more restrictions. Just as the term tzaddik is one who restricts himself properly in the union of Tikkun HaBris, Kohen represents one who is more restricted than a common Jew in Tikkun HaBris. So Kohen and Tzaddik, these two represent one and the same. By a person helping a Tzaddik, all of these things that we spoke about, these help to affect the refuahs and all the things that we spoke about.
We normally say that chesed is an union of opening up.
Correct.
Okay, over here, totally reversed from what...
Correct. Good question. We mentioned many times that tzimtzum, closing, is always an inyan of din. Opening, poseach es yodecho, masbilach ha'irotzen, is an inyan of chesed, the kindness of Hashem. Here we see that the kohen is the one who closes up the wound. Where do we get that? The answer is, I'm going to offer an opinion on this. In other words, it seems that we could very easily say that sometimes the chesed is needed to open, sometimes the chesed is needed to close. Just as the Zohar Kodesh says, we have a very strange pasuk in Oz Yashir. There's a pasuk that says, Yemincha Hashem tiratz oyev. The right hand of Hashem will smash the enemy. Tiratz means smash. It's a very rough word. The Zohar Kodesh says, how can we say the right hand of Hashem is going to smash? Well, we know throughout the Torah, the right hand always represents kindness. How do we use the term right hand smashing? The Zohar Kodesh says, when does the right hand represent kindness? When it's with regards to the Jews. The greatest kindness to the Jews is to smash the enemy. Here, in a sense, the chesed is closing. When the chesed is a concept of opening, which is the norm, there the chesed is opening it up. The act of giving tzedakah is an act of chesed, right? We spoke about breaking the achzorius within you. Tzedakah is poseach tiftach. But there are times when you need a chesed to close. This item, this act of giving tzedakah and keeping the yamim tov and all of these things affects both types of chasodim. The chesed in opening the wound and allowing it to drain and all of these things, and in being able to seal it, to reseal it, to be able to complete the cure.
If you're calling like a tzedakah, it's a preference. This lady, Yeshiva, that has to hire one or two people as a malamut for the children, and both are poor and both are fairly well equal in their learning.
That would probably be a priority. In other words, if both are equal in everything else, and one is a kohen, the kohen always must be placed first. That's what Hashem says.
Does the lady get any preference in that sense?
I don't think so.
The lady, if there's a lot of people post the hold that if there's no lady, it's not the kohen, the lady shouldn't get...
Exactly.
Correct. It seems to be that lady without the kohen is
even... Exactly. Why? Now we understand. Because the Levi is only good when he's attached to the kohen. Levi by himself is din, is harshness. It's only when he's subservient to the kohen that then it makes a beautiful mix. This one's chesed, this one is din, it forms tiferes. Okay. Now Rabbi Nezal says, now we seal up. Rabbi Nezal, when he told this chapter of Likutei Moran, it was on the holiday of Shavuos. Everything that we learned so far was a shiur being given on Shavuos. On Shavuos, the reading of the Torah that we read for Maftir is the part in Parshas Pinchas where it says, Uveyayim habikurim, and on the day of Shavuos, v'hakrivchem mincha chadosh el Hashem, when you're going to want to bring a new offering to Hashem. Shavuos is the holiday on which we bring bikurim, that's the offering from the new wheat and everything, the new crops and everything. B'shavuos seichem, on the holiday of Shavuos, mikro kodesh yelachem, this should be a holy day for you, kol meleches avoyda lo yisasu, you're not permitted to do any work on the holiday of Shavuos. That's the part in the Torah that we read for Maftir on the holiday of Shavuos. Rabbi Nezal is going to explain now how in those two sentences, which speak about the holiday of Shavuos, is contained everything that we said so far in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vezeh pirush." This is the explanation of the words "ubiyoyim habikurim," and on the day of the bringing of the first tavua, "zeh bechinas haschola." First is a concept of beginning. Bechinas Tsoro Kimav Kira. This refers to a concept of the difficulty that's encountered by a woman when she's making a new beginning, bringing a new child into the world, and especially the first child that a woman gives birth. The Pasuk says, Tsoro Kimav Kira, that the most difficult childbirth is usually the first one, because that's where you have to open a new opening. So the term Bikurim, which means first or beginning, that refers to this concept of making a beginning that we spoke about in the beginning of this chapter in the Gemara, making a haschola, that staka is the haschola of all haschalos. What is this beginning that we're speaking about? We're speaking about the beginning of the beginning. The beginning of giving tzedakah, which in itself is called a beginning. What we're referring to in this pasuk is the beginning of charity, the beginning of tzedakah. When a person is first beginning anew to give tzedakah, and this first act of tzedakah is called mincha chadosha. Chadosha means new. Mincha, Rabbein Azal says, the word mincha is another word for tzedakah. Kama shekosev, as the pasuk says, magishe mincha b'tzedakah, those who give their present with charity. So we see a pasuk that puts mincha together with tzedakah. So Rabbein Azal says, so uveyoyim habikurim, bakrivchem mincha chadosh el Hashem, refers to a person giving tzedakah, the beginning of the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. What will that affect? We mentioned in this chapter on Likutei Moran that there is a problem that's initiated by older people who waste time, who let their days go by without increasing any serving Hashem. They're the ones who feed the Metzach HaNochosh. We said, how do you defeat them? What power defeats them? Tzedakah, shlach lachmacha al panei hamoyim, ki b'roiv yamim timtzoehu. Spread out your bread on the waters, because in many, many days you will find it. In many, many days you will find the effects. By those who live many, many days, you will find the effects of giving tzedakah. So Rabbein Azal says, v'ideat tzedakah nistakein b'chinas zokein. Through tzedakah, that's what corrects and fixes up the problem of the older people. Vezehu b'shavuoy seichem. That's what the word b'shavuoy seichem represents. Shavuos refers to older people. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that when Hashem presented the Torah to the Jews on Har Sinai, how did He appear to them? Kizokein mole rachmim. Hashem appeared to the Jews on Shavuos as an elderly man. Rabbein Azal says b'shavuoy seichem zebechinas zokein. That refers to old age. Ki Sinai nidmolahem kizokein. The Gemara says that on Mount Sinai, Hashem appeared to the Jews as an elderly person, as an older person. Ki al yidei bechinas mincha chadosho, because through this act of mincha chadosho, shehu bechinas hascholas hatzdoko, which represents the beginning of tzedoko, through that nistakein bechinas zokein, that's what fixes up the problem of zokein, the problem of these older people who live old ages but they don't use the years for anything good. Shehu bechinas shavuos, they are represented by the word shavuos, the holiday of shavuos, when Hashem appeared to the Jews as an elderly man. Once these elderly people are fixed up, that fixes up the source from which the Metzach HaNochosh was drawing from. We had explained in this chapter that where does the Metzach HaNochosh draw from? It draws from these older people who don't live, who don't conduct their lives the way they're supposed to. What happens once they are defeated? What happens once the Metzach HaNochosh is defeated? Then the scream of the holiday can be heard properly. We said that the koil of the Kriyas HaRotzayin of Yontif was being countered by the Chayos Ro'os, which come from the Metzach HaNochosh. Once this Metzach HaNochosh is defeated, now the proclamation of the holidays, proclaiming the true Emun in Hashem, now that comes out in all its glory. V'nishma koil ha-kriya shel Yontif, the voice of the proclamation of Yontif can be heard. Shemegale es harotzayin kanal, which which reveals and proclaims the Rotzayin of Hashem, the fact that everything is being done with the Rotzayin of Hashem. V'zehu, this is what the Pasuk means when it says, Mikra Kodesh Yelochem, that when you'll follow the first step of this Pasuk, Uviyayim Habikurim, Bakrivchem Mincha Chadosh El Hashem Bishboi Seichem, if you'll do this beginning of Tzedakah, and thereby you'll fix up these old days, what will happen? Mikra Kodesh Yelochem. Then the Kiddusha will be able to be proclaimed, the holiday will proclaim its cry of Kiddusha, Hainu Koil HaKriya Shel Yantiv Shehu Hizgalas HaRatzayin, this is Hizgalas HaRatzayin which we spoke about, Shezeh Bechinas Mikra Kodesh, this is the Mikra Kodesh which we spoke about, Shehu Nishma Ato Al Yedei HaTzedakah, which can now it can be heard. Why? Because Tzedakah removed all the obstacles that were preventing it from being heard. These Chayes Rois, this Metzach HaNochosh, all of those things were removed through the Tzedakah. Shemachnias Metzach HaNochosh, Chochmas HaTeva, Va'azai Al Yedei Hizgalas HaRotzayin, what happens? Once there is this Hizgalas HaRotzayin, what does that bring about? The Hizgalas HaRotzayin is what brings about Yira. Ritzayin Yireyov Yaase. Rotzayin creates Yira. Once there's Yira, there's a Keli into which to receive the tremendous Shef of Hashem. Once there's a Keli into which to receive this tremendous Shef of Hashem, you don't have to go to work anymore. The Pasuk finishes by saying, Kol Meleches Avoido Loi Sasu. Don't do any work. On this holiday of Shavuos, you're not permitted to do any work. Ki al yedei hizgalas haratzayin, because through the hizgalas haratzayin, naase yira, there is generated yira. That's the one item that's not brought clearly in this pasuk. So Rabbeinu Zal's filling it in for you. The pasuk seems to skip a step, sort of. It goes from mikro kodesh yelachem to kol melechas avodah lo yitzasu. No big deal. We tied it all together earlier in the Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, because ratzayin creates yira. By the Hayira Nishba Chesed, when there is Yira, Yira is just the Keli sort of into which to contain this Chesed. Va'azai Ein Tzrichen La'aseh Shum Malacha. Once there is this super Chesed coming from Hashem, there's no longer any need for the person to go out and work and earn his own livelihood. Because then the world can manage itself purely on the kindness of Hashem. The pasuk which we quoted earlier, that when the world was first created, it was purely from the kindness of Hashem, without any sarusat alasata whatsoever. And then the pasuk says that strange people will care for the sheep of the Jews and will do all their work for them, and the Jews will all be, there'll be a nation of all kehanim, nobody will have to go to work. Vezehu kol meleches avoida loy sasu. This is what's hinted to in the words kol meleches avoida loy sasu. You won't have to do any work. Ki ein tzrichem la'aseh shum melacha v'shum esek. There won't be any need for any Jew doing any physical type of work. Why? Ki niskayim ha'olam b'chazdai. Because at that point, the world will be able to conduct itself purely on the chesed of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem. Bechinas v'atem kehanei Hashem tikru. As the Pasuk says, that there is going to come a time when the Jews are going to be a full nation of Kehanim. Now, any person who has any... Seriously, I'm talking now on the lowest level. I'm talking for us, for a bunch of kids. I'm not talking about the depth that's in this, that in Likutei Halachos you have hundreds of pages explaining all kinds of Gemaras and laws in Shulchan Aruch. Just taking this chapter on Likutei Moran purely in its simple interpretation... Any person seeing a rabbi who could have had such a super deep understanding of a mitzvah, tzedakah, to be able to give a shiur like this explaining the mitzvah of tzedakah, plus such an incredibly thorough knowledge of the Torah, you watch how Rabbeinu Zal weaves in and out of the 24 books of the Torah, all the Gemaras, and his understanding of the holiday of Shavuos, to be able to understand, to be able to take a pasuk like this, you show me any super genius who could look at this pasuk of Yom HaBikurim and figure out in any way how in that pasuk is hinted to all the different concepts that we spoke about in this Torah, and at the same time be able to include one of his students who lived in Ladishin, you know, one of his 200 students was sick. Within his shiur, he was able to include a whole speech about that and cure him. All of this was one shiur that was given when he was about 33 years old at the time. picture this Rebbe, picture who this person must have been, to be able to leave behind something like this, which is studied for generations afterwards, and people have expounded on this. The Parpois L'Chochma explodes this. You know, there are so many things that we didn't discuss because we're limited in time. We could spend a year on this chapter, no problem, just widening it and broadening it and showing how it ties into so many other things. But just on the simplest level, this gives you an idea of what kind of incredible tzaddik Rabbeinu Zal was. Ashreinu that was zoche to learn such a deep explanation of the mitzvahs of the Torah, of the holiday of Shavuos, of this, that, to be able to understand so many things by it. Reb Kalman in Eretz Yisrael used the word that each chapter on the Likutei Moran is like a whole civilization unto itself. It's like a whole culture. It's like it takes you on a trip this wide. In other words, a culture is something that includes hundreds of different concepts, this and that. Each chapter in Likutei Moran is like a whole culture. It's like a whole sefer on itself. And when you come to Likutei Halachos, you see that it's true. Rav Nosson Zal expounds on this and expands it so much wider. In other words, when you learn over there, that's when you realize, wow, how could I have dreamed that when I learned this, that I understood this? Because here it's still, most of it is still theory. You're not, Rav Nosson Zal ties it into actual laws in the Shulchan Aruch as to how we give tzedakah and why we have Birkas Kahanim exactly, just to give some examples that we mentioned, tying in the concept of Kohen with this Hizgalus HaRatzon, this revelation of the miracles of Hashem. You'll note Birkas Kohanim, which we have in Shemoneh Esrei. What's the location for Birkas Kohanim? The one place in Shemoneh Esrei where we discuss the miracles of Hashem, Val Nisecho Shebechol Yimimono, Val Niflo Yisecho V'Tavisecho Shebechol Yimimono, right at the end of Maidim, where we discuss the miracles that Hashem does for us every day. As soon as the Jews finish saying that, that's when we have the blessing of the Kohanim. Because the Kohen represents this super chesed, this super shefa coming from Hashem, which can only come when there is a Hizgalus HaRatzon, when there is an acknowledgement of the presence of Hashem through miracles, through this revelation of miracles. That's one out of 100 or 200 different incredible items that Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos, how by studying this Torah in Likutei Moran, we could understand the Shemoneh Esrei, we could understand Birkas Kohanim, we could understand the holidays much better. Every single thing ties into this. Now we have two addendums, two PSs to this Torah. Rabbeinu Zal adds on, there were two terms that we used in this chapter on Likutei Moran that we didn't really distinguish between them. We didn't show that they are. We didn't show them as being solidly distinct. And Rabbeinu Zal now wants to make a distinction between them. The two terms were, number one, Chayois Ro'ois, Hadorsim V'Torfim, the wild animals who we said scream, their screams combat the scream of the holiday, and they're the ones who profess this Chochma Sateva, this knowledge about nature and about everything must conform with scientific fact and philosophy and this whole bit. That was one term that we spoke about, these chayos rois, these wild animals, and we said that they draw their roots from the metzach hanochosh, from the forehead of the snake. We spoke, those were the two terms, chayos rois, metzach hanochosh. Rabbeinu Zal says, yesh chiluk, there is a difference bein ha-chayos rois u-bein ha-metzach hanochosh, between the term chayos rois that we used and the term metzach hanochosh that we used. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki chachmei ha-teva, the scientist philosopher types, shehem b'chinas chayos rois, they are the ones whom we refer to as chayos rois, heim ha-chachomim she'oichazim b'chochmas ha-teva la-hanosom. They are the ones who hold on, they latch on to the science and philosophy for their own benefit, for personal benefit. They use that as an excuse not to have to be religious, not to have to follow the laws of religion. Why? Because if not for the fact that they could disprove the presence of Hashem and the fact that the Torah is emes, they would be obligated to conform with the Torah. So their study of philosophy and science is based on pure personal pleasure of wanting to go against the Torah, so they study this and they try to make this true in order to be able to go about their life in their own, what they think is a pleasurable way. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki yesh lohem hanoa mizeh." They get pleasure from this, kidei lahachzig das v'sheker shelohem, because it helps them strengthen their own cultures and their falsehoods. Ukiyotze, etc. Similar things. Aval HaChocham, Shehu Bechinas Metzach HaNochosh. But when we refer to a philosopher scientist whom we call Metzach HaNochosh, the root of all of this evil, who are we referring to? Hu Rasha. There we're talking about a solid Rasha. The Kofer, a person who denies Hashem, who opposes Hashem completely. Bali Shum Hano, without any personal pleasure. She'ein loy Shum Hano mechochmosoi. He doesn't get any pleasure out of his wisdom. Rak hu kemoi Rasha yorei. Rabbi Nizal says it's like a frum Rasha. Shehu Rush, it's like what we call a devout Rasha, a person who's really, really goes into it, you know, he devotes himself to this for the sake, in other words, there are certain people who go out and have a good time and everything, and they've read up a little bit on philosophy to be able to use that to combat anybody who would come to teach them about theology and religion. They know enough philosophy to be able to ridicule the religion so as to be able to go out and have a good time. Versus, there are people who make this their living. They become they dedicate their lives to science and to really go into it and disprove, you know, dedicate, where these guys lock themselves in laboratories or whatever. In other words, they don't even go out so much and have a good time. They're not interested so much in having a good time. This Bilam Harasha was a cripple, walked on one foot, only saw through one eye, was a total cripple zero, and yet he applied himself completely to knocking Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who wanted to be the equal opposing force to Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, without getting any personal pleasure out of it. Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos goes into a whole discussion to show that Balak is the one who refers to the Chochmas HaTeva, Bilam was the Metzach HaNochosh. Rav Nosson Zal proves it from Sukkim. But here Rabbeinu Zal showing this, Shehu Rasha Rak Hu Kamei Rasha Yorei, Shehu Rasha V'Kaifer Bali Shum Hano. We're talking about a Rasha who denies Hashem without any personal pleasure. He's not doing it for his own pleasure. There's just a super evil inside of him that he wants to oppose the existence of Hashem, the existence of the Torah, period. Now, Rabbi Nizal sums up for us this whole Torah in simple, practical terms. This is what you were asking for. Watch this. Klal HaMaimar, the summarization of this chapter, Kulay Echad, the whole chapter is one. The Kulay Kosher Zeboze, every aspect of this chapter in Likutei Moran is tied together one with the other beautifully. Why? Watch. What Rabbi Nizal is saying is, Shehatztoko hi kosher ma'oid bahascholo. Kosher tztoko is very, very difficult, especially when a person first starts giving tztoko. Aval hatayela shel tztoko godol ma'oid. But the benefits of tztoko, what comes out of tztoko, is very, very great. Ki al yidei hatztoko ein tzrichen la'asoy shum malocha ve'esek. By giving tztoko, a person can help himself be zecher to get to a level where he should not have to do any work or any business whatsoever. Ki niskayim ho'olam bechazdoy. He can cause Hashem to be able to conduct the world purely with his infinite kindness, which does not necessitate any of our assistance. It doesn't necessitate any sibois, any intermediary, any circumstances. Ki al yedei hatzedoko moitzin yinikas metzach hanochosh. Through tzedoko, we uproot the source from which the metzach hanochosh draws. Note, there are three levels. There's the grandfather, there's the parent, and the child. The grandfather is these elderly people who waste their days. They're the root from which draws the Metzach HaNochosh. Metzach HaNochosh, we said, is represented by Bilam. The Metzach HaNochosh is the place from which draw the Chayos Rois, the Chochmei HaTeva, the scientist philosopher types who try to battle the religion, you know, the Emun and Hashem, etc. Rabbi Nathan says, Ki al yidei hatzdoko moitzin yinikas metzach hanochosh sheyoinek mizikne ador. Through tzedoko, we remove the nourishment of the metzach hanochosh, which tries to nourish from these zikne hador. Va'azai, once that happens, nishma koil hakriya shel yantif, the proclamation of yantif can be heard, Shemegales Harotzein, which reveals the true faith in the fact that everything in this world is being conducted by the Rotzein of Hashem. Va'azai Nizgale Yira. As soon as this is revealed, as soon as this becomes obvious to people, the fact that Hashem is in control and Hashem is able to do big miracles, what happens? The people get filled with fear of Hashem. This imposes a fear of Hashem on the people. Ki ikar hayira al yidei hizgalas haratzayin, because we proved earlier in this Tarnuk HaTamran that how do people become aroused to fear? Whenever a king proves to the people that he's able to do things whatever blank way he wants, however he wants to go, whatever he wants to do, no matter how difficult something is, if he gives an order to have it implemented, he can have it done in a second. That's what imposes a fear upon the people. This yira serves as a vessel into which may be received, into which can be received this super chesed that Hashem would want to give to the Jews. But if the keli isn't there, he can't, because it could do damage. Roiv shamim, you must fall not to have roiv shamim, right? Because without the vessel or the pipe, it's impossible to have this Roiv Chesed. You can't have this Roiv Chesed. Rak al yidei yira, it's only through having this fear, shehu tzinor, which is a pipe, v'keli, and a vessel, al yodo mekablen es ha-chesed, through it, we can receive this Chesed of Hashem. V'azai miskayim ho'ilam b'chazdoi, then the world can manage itself on the pure Chesed of Hashem. It doesn't require us to lend a hand at all to earning a living or to planting or to plowing. Hashem can do all of it by himself. V'oz ein tzrichan la'aseh shum malacha, and then the person doesn't have to do any malacha whatsoever. Ki niskayim, because it becomes mekuyam. Va'omdu zorim v'ro'u tzaynchem, that strangers will come and they'll take care of your sheep and your vineyards, and you will be a nation of kohanim and priests. Baruch Hashem. Anybody, I'm saying seriously, I'm talking honestly. In other words, the way I want this to come over is, if this is what I understand, picture how Rebbe Zal understood this Torah, picture how Rabbi Kochavle Zal understood this Torah. In other words, according to what kind of base of knowledge you're operating with in religion, it's understood that these words are not as simple as we're talking about super deep concepts here, where according to how much you've learned on your own, that's how much depth you're going to see in the words that he's using here. Picture the level that the big tzaddikim learn these words on. It's incredible. And Rabbi Nizal told his students that what's found in the Likutei Moran is the smallest, it's the lowest portion of his wisdom. He said that that was the only part that he was able to put into writing. What was the next level in Rabbi Nizal's brain was too high to be permitted to be put into writing. Picture who this tzaddik was, who this Rebbe was, that 200 years after his passing, people throughout the world, he has more students now than he had during his lifetime. People throughout the world, in all walks, in universities, everywhere, this is what they're studying. Rabbi Nachman's stories, Rabbi Nachman's teachings, Rabbi Nachman's philosophy. You go in any college library in this country or throughout the world, you're going to find that the most oft-quoted Hasidic master is Rabbi Nachman. And again, this is a person who left the world at age 38. Just like the Arizal, the same age as the Arizal. The Arizal passed away at 38 and a half. Rabbi Nizal passed away at 38 and a half. Look what these two people left behind in this world at that age. Ashreinu, how fortunate we are that we have these Sfarim in our house, and that we're zeichet to be trying to learn them on our low, low level.